Ahoy, hoy, ladies and gentlemen.
What's going on, buddy? It's, you know what? It's been a minute.
Yeah, Derek. Dude, it has been a minute. Like when, so our last episode was a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you.
Yep.
You look like you plumped up a little bit over COVID.
Oh, yeah. Like muscle or fatness?
I'm both? Just kidding. Totally kidding. No, you look great.
Thanks.
You look great.
Been working out.
Yeah, Pat is back.
Yeah,
he's gonna be like a co-host today.
An
honorary co-host.
Yes,
and maybe in the future, who knows?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah,
we're done. I'm just inviting myself now.
That's fine.
He wrote the book on Nevada beer.
He literally
and that's
did.
Not even an exaggeration.
We do have a really good guest today.
Yeah,
he's pretty cool, I guess.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll see. So his name's Chad. I've known this guy since I was a little dude in Vegas. I think it's been a long time, man. But no, Chad's amazing, man. This dude, he does voiceover. He used to be on radio. That's where he first started. Now he does voiceover work full time. I mean, you're killing it.
Yeah.
He had a commercial on the Super Bowl.
He did.
Just insane.
For Mercari.
Dude, crazy. Yeah.
That was cool. I didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah.
We have a bit of an audience today for like the first time ever. This is great.
Dude, growing.
We're blowing up, like, man.
We have more people in this room than we have listened to the show. It's insane.
This is where our audience is tonight. Yeah. I love it. But dude, let's roll it.
Let's let it roll, man. Hi. My name is Stu Hawk, and this is my podcast about all the weird, crazy, spooky things that scare me and my guests, and the one thing that helps us forget all about them. Ladies and gentlemen, Beer Freaks. And we're back.
We are back.
I hope you enjoyed that intro that doesn't even include Derek.
You know what, man? You just sound way better than I do. So I'm not going
to
change it.
I don't know something? That to be true. I think we're just too lazy to change the intro.
I mean, that could be a good
guess. I think that's the actuality of it.
But dude, I'm excited for the show today because this is really cool. Like, I'm glad Chad was able to make it. Pat came. We got our audience in the background. I mean, this is fantastic.
Can you guys applause? Yes. Like when... Thank you. Yes. Yes. Wow.
That feels fantastic.
That really does. Oh my God. Now I want to be the next Jimmy Fallon. That's like, that felt incredible.
That's great.
Yeah, and Pat can warm up the crowd and
just
come out and make terrible jokes because
it's not good.
Going back to the canned laughter, I just need to get this out because I just tried it the other day. I watched that new Kevin James show.
Mm. Oh yeah,
the pit.
That one.
The crew.
Why are Netflix sitcoms so bad?
That one's awful.
Wait. Which one are you talking about?
The Beyond the Pit.
The Pit, and then there's that other one.
Don't say The Ranch. The Ranch. God damn it. I love The Ranch.
Wait, it's also bad.
Is that the one with...
Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
What's the one with the machine? Kurt, who's the guy that you know, I've never seen the guy that talks about the Russian mafia in his stand-up. Kurt Bercher or whatever.
Oh, Kreischer.
I thought that was called The Ranch, but I guess it's not. It's like a reality show.
That one, he rents out the cabin and he brings other celebrities. The cabin.
Yeah, that one's awesome.
That's, yes.
Oh. That guy's crazy.
I get drunk and watch that. It's fantastic.
I'll have to watch
good?
That
Yeah. I like him. He's
an idiot and he makes me happy. He's like naked in almost every episode.
He takes his shirt off.
I mean, but he elevated it for the show. He just takes his clothes off.
Dude, do you know how that guy got famous? Burt Kreischer?
Taking his shirt off.
No, he was like the real Van Wilder.
He was like the real Van Wilder.
No.
Like Florida State or something like that.
He had this huge profile written about him for being a party animal.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah.
Literally, that's how he got famous.
New York Times or Wall Street
Journal.
It was
like a major publication.
That gave me goosebumps, guys. I want to meet this real Van Wilder.
Well, he doesn't look as... You know,
yeah, but he's equally as fun.
But
yeah,
he looks like a blast.
He looks more fun.
That's bad.
Yeah, he doesn't look pretty, but he's definitely fun.
Yeah,
cool. I would be afraid to hang out with him.
Let's reach out to him. Let's Instagram DM him.
Let me know how that goes.
He's a frequent guest on the Rogan podcast, so I think it might be tough to get him.
Yeah. You know what, man?
He's got bigger platforms.
Hey, you never know.
You don't.
Here's a wild thing. We hit up. Who did we hit up?
Greg Koch.
Greg Koch.
From founder of Stone
Founder
Brewing.
Of Stone Brewing.
Yeah. Oh.
He was down to be on the podcast. He literally got back to Stu.
He did on Instagram, or his assistant did, or whatever, you know. And yeah, he was down to be on the podcast, or he at least wanted to pretend to be down to be on the podcast, and then passed me off. He actually gave me an email address of somebody who wound up being the director of PR for Stone, which, being from San Diego, is one of my favorite breweries of all time. Not that you have to be from San Diego to love Stone, but it just helps. And we emailed back and forth a couple of times, and eventually she just said, hey, look, Greg is super busy, but here are a couple of beers, which they sent.
Oh, that's very cool.
So we did get
some free beer. If you ever do get him on the podcast, I heard a story about him that I would like you guys to ask him if the story is true.
Ooh,
that he became the first American to become a Belgian beer knight, and he was knighted.
Wow.
And when you get that, you get to go over to, well, at least Belgium, but any bar in Belgium, you show this badge. And they do it, you know, all over the world. Every year, they knight people, right? And if you have this little badge, you can drink for free in any bar in Belgium.
Whoa.
And he was so obnoxious that they took it away from him.
Get the fuck out of here.
And I don't know if that's true, but the person that told me is his name's JD. And he worked at the Whiskey Attic here in Vegas.
Oh, he's a whiskey guy.
Yeah. And his boss is Adam.
Yep.
I forgot his last name.
Is it West? No, that's the...
No, that was Batman. But Adam was the second guy that got... second American that got knighted for spirits and tasting.
Yeah. Dude, that's insane. And
what did Adam do?
He was a cool guy.
Adam invented the C-Stem method, which is the method that I use for drinking whiskey. And it's the carb. I'm drawing a blank on his last name, but it starts with a C. But it's the, I'm gonna say Carver, but I know that's wrong. Carver.
No, spirit that sounds tasting super familiar. That sounds right.
Enhancement method.
Yeah.
Hmm. So
that sounds right.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's not. I don't think it's Adam Carver.
Because he had the place right across from UNLV. I remember going there all the time. The Freaking Frog.
Yeah, the Freaking Frog.
Oh, I remember the Freaking Frog.
Yeah. It was such a good place, man. And that's when they had the Sam Adams Utopia, which was a beer, but it was like 35%.
Oh, geez.
It was like 100 plus bottles.
Still make it.
Yeah. Dude, it was crazy. It was 35 bucks a shot, and I tried it, and it was good.
Was it good? Yeah. 35%. Did 35%. It taste like beer?
No.
35 bucks a shot, huh?
35 bucks a shot.
35.
What's the most expensive shot you've ever tasted or been poured or ordered or whatever?
I feel like that one.
35 bucks?
35 bucks for that shot.
Johnny Walker Blue, dude.
I feel like.
Yeah, what about Johnny Walker's?
I haven't had that.
I got you beat then.
What do you got?
350 bucks for a 2-ounce pour.
Of what?
It was old Bunahabin.
Jesus. Is that Japanese whiskey?
No. It's from the island of Isla, my favorite place in the whole world.
That's right. You do love that.
And it was just 1978. It was distilled in 78 and I think it was barreled in 81 maybe.
Jesus.
Something like that. Don't quote me, but 350 bucks and it was worth it. I'll never forget it.
I can do math.
And I got it from JD.
Dude. Yeah, my buddy JD. That is crazy, man. Anyway, let's get to the beer, guys.
Well, before we get to the beer.
Yes, very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we need to dig a little bit deeper into the fear.
We do. Yeah.
Before the beer, there's the fear, huh?
First of all, we need to know
the beer.
About the fear, Chad.
That's it. That's the
This
the
is
setup.
The moment.
This is the setup.
This is the moment. This is your moment.
You asked me this like a month ago, and I wanted to put some like serious thought into it because I didn't want to say like spiders.
We've had one scorpion. Scary,
but my fear is just like what's happening to us, like as a country, like how we don't get along, and I'm kind of worried that we're not going to be America as we know it in like 20 years. It really bothers me.
I don't even think it's going to be 20 years.
It could be quicker. Yeah. Could it be like some Philip K. Dick, you know, Man in White Castle, where it's just like a divide down the middle and like there's the East Coast and the West Coast and that's it? Like, I don't know.
It'd be more like the coasts are like on the same team and then like the Midwest.
You just
like
get another Concord.
Like, yeah, back and forth. The neutral zone.
Yeah, like the East and the West Coast are connected through Canada and they'd be okay.
it's Canada.
Canada. Yeah, see, that's how I say it. But dude, it's a great fear because I've been thinking the same way. Like, I totally feel you.
I just want to be able to disagree with you and not have it be like, you're a terrible person. You're a racist, homophobic, adrenal drinking, pedophile, you know, Kabbalist.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be that anymore. I mean, it was funny for a minute.
It was. Wait, I think on a...
The internet makes everything funny.
I think on a right? micro
level... That's the problem.
Yeah. I think on a micro level, we're still America.
Yeah.
On a macro level, we're not.
What are we? Hasn't been defined yet.
It's true.
How do you reconcile, like, is so this is what I don't know, and this is an honest question. I don't understand how, like, when men have their, you know, if there's a pretty person in your office, you're like, oh, hey. And if there's, where is the line? The line kind of is different for every person, right? Yeah. And like, straight up propositioning a person at work is inappropriate. Yeah. I totally get that.
Yep.
But, like, when it's, is flirting bad now? Or are you just like, hey... Like,
well, that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, the girl could say, well, he made me uncomfortable. Well,
there's a whole bunch of stuff that makes me uncomfortable. Cancel culture makes me uncomfortable. Exactly. So we can cancel culture.
Yeah.
At what point?
Exactly.
Who? I don't even remember who it was that said, at what point do my rights end and your rights begin?
Mm-hmm.
I really like what you just said. And I think that this really ladders back to your concern about technology and society. And this is actually a fear that my former manager espoused that I thought was really interesting. And it's essentially around the idea that as the internet takes over more and more of our lives on a day-to-day basis, mobile phones and things like that, we lack the ability, we learn to lack the ability to have confrontational conversations that don't end in just shaking hands and like, yeah, I disagree with you, but this is it. So like, for instance, the Aziz Ansari situation, the cancellation of Aziz Ansari, where the whole thing was Aziz took, and this is my understanding, I could be wrong, so call me out if I'm wrong, took a chick out and they went out on a date, brought her back to his place. I mean, he's a little guy. And from everything, even from her testament, it wasn't like he was forcing himself on her. She never said no. She never. So I don't understand exact. But then the next day she said she didn't really feel it. And she didn't feel like he should have taken advantage of this whole situation. So it's like, okay. I obviously none of us were there. We don't know exactly what went right. down. But okay. Based on the story that even you're telling and that Aziz told, confrontation. Okay. Mm-hmm. Get out of your cell phone, get out of the thing that you're staring at and say, look, dude, I don't want this. If that's what you're feeling, then say, I don't want this. But I think that's from the technology and society issue that you're raising. Absolutely. That's an issue. People cannot look at each other and confront one another these days.
Yeah.
At least on subtler issues or even
it's
more.
It's tough. It's because you don't want to offend anybody. Like, for example, me and my fiance, we have a motto for our relationship and it's ask for what you want. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't want to have to guess how she's feeling or what she wants. And I don't want her to have to guess what I'm feeling or what I want. It's so much easier when you just say like, I don't want to do this or, yeah. Can you please take your top off? Like, that's appropriate because we're engaged.
Does she keep telling you to do that? Because I ask you to do that right now?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, I mean,
we're all going to be naked here.
I will feel uncomfortable and tell you no. Yeah. But then probably flash you
That's the difference. That's the difference.
Yes. You know, only if I'm comfortable and don't feel threatened.
Yeah.
But like, it is difficult. What I would like to see. Is just, you know, it's almost like I wish that you and I didn't agree. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm more middle of the road. I'm not very liberal. I'm not very conservative. I'm somewhere in the middle. The person that comes to mind is Chris Rock. He's like, I'm liberal about some things. I'm conservative about other things. Mm-hmm. I'm liberal about prostitution. I'm conservative about bullets or I don't know what he said. you know, so something like that. Like, but if we weren't like... If we agree, it's too easy. It's almost like I want to have conversations with people that I disagree with so I can say, okay, like, what's appropriate? Like, what do I do? And every single person will have a different answer. It's almost impossible to please everybody. So there has to be some level of comfort with who you are as a person, where you stand on issues. And I think that intent is the most important thing that the internet takes away. If I say something that's inappropriate or offensive to one of you, but my intent was to make you laugh or think or some non-nefarious intent, doesn't that have more weight than what you felt, where you could be like, dude, that's offensive. If you the feedback that I get is like, I don't like that, or it's offensive, give me the chance at least to say like, oh, I'm sorry, my bad. Like, let's have a conversation about that.
Yeah.
So there's a person that I teach voiceover at a school here in Las Vegas, and there's a non-binary person, and sometimes I slip with their pronoun.
Sure.
And when I do that, I'm trying to be respectful, regardless of how I feel about it. I'm trying to be respectful of what they're going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I slip on the pronoun periodically. It's a very hard habit to break with the pronoun thing.
100%.
So I will email them and say, I caught myself in that. I didn't want to bring attention to it to make you more uncomfortable, but what's the best way to do that? They said, what you're doing now is completely appropriate, and I appreciate you caught yourself corrected. So in my mind, but like, I don't necessarily agree with the pronoun thing, but I'm not in a place to talk about that. Like, you know, it's not my reality. So I'm trying to be respectful of that, but I also want them to be like, hey, this is a very difficult habit to break. Yeah. 40 years and I'm an English major. Like, it's just that's going to be that's going to take a minute for sure. The majority of Americans. Yeah, but totally. I also don't think I should be canceled for saying,
making an accident.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Cause it's going to happen.
Yeah. And that's why I keep going back to intent. The intent isn't to harm or be, you know, rude or anything like that, but it does happen.
And I think you're totally right. And Pat, I'll let you, I just want to say, I just don't want people to take intent and use it as a shield when they say, well, actually my intention was this, but I totally hear what you're saying. Yeah. If the intent truly is like, I'm not like, we've had a trans person on the show.
Yep.
And I fucked up the pronoun probably 17 times.
Yeah.
And it was not intentional. I mean, I'm fully for it. And you can cut this if it's, you know.
No, I don't. Yeah.
If we're going down a road that's bad, like, you know, I totally get it. I don't want you to get canceled. Will Apple pull you?
I don't think my grandma will pull us.
I'm not even worried about it.
Don't think Apple. Your grandma's so just like, enough. What? What's he talking about?
What's he talking about? What?
Non-binary. No. That's a star system.
But 100%.
There needs to be like just a little bit more. It's not patience. It's just like a little bit more. Just like, I don't know what's going on with you, but you are inconsequential to my life.
Yeah.
Yes. You, what you think, what you do, what you say is inconsequential. I have a very dear friend of mine that says, our life is so good here in America. My fiance is from, you know, Europe, and, you know, it's you know, the economic situation there's a lot different. They live more simply. We make a lot of jokes about, like, what's the name of your donkey? You know, she's like, oh, we don't have
Geppetto.
You idiot.
What a good
like,
name.
Do you guys have cars? And she's like, yeah.
Geppetto.
If we get a donkey, can we name it Geppetto? Can we get a donkey?
Pinocchio.
A goat, maybe. A goat. Of course she would say a goat. See, these are the
have you ever had goat milk?
We have goat cheese.
Yeah,
oat cheese is fantastic.
Oat cheese is good. Yeah. Two chickens. Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, I totally lost my train of thought now.
if you get a goat, I want some goat cheese.
Yeah.
Lucy's going to make it.
I'm you guys up on that.
I'm busy doing stuff.
Thank you.
Fair enough.
But life is so good here in America that sometimes we don't have anything to worry about. So we create problems.
Right. Yeah, sure.
So if you're in, I don't know, where would be like a part of Europe or like a part that you're from where like you don't care if somebody doesn't like you, you're like, I just want to eat.
Game of Thrones.
You can call me whatever name you want.
Most of Russia.
Can I just eat?
Game of Thrones isn't a country, Derek.
No, but it took place in Croatia, right? Didn't it?
It's not even a real place. Parts of it.
It's not even a place. It's just a name of a show.
I could talk for at least another hour about crazy Croatian shit.
We only have 59 minutes.
So. Like,
sorry.
I could give you the Cliff Notes. AKA the Chad Notes. But to that point, don't you think that there are some times where we're so comfortable and we're not that busy with stuff, so we kind of invent things to be 100%. Upset about?
I feel like that's 100% what most Americans get upset about. Making issues up that they don't need to be concerned with.
If I took away your phone and I said, I'd give it back to you in a month, You'd be like, people would freak out.
It'd be crazy. Yeah. I mean, could everybody I type on a nowadays. Typewriter?
But you're, yeah. But like, the point is to unplug from tech so that you don't, you don't have any way of looking at other people's lives. Or if somebody wants to tell you something, they have to call you or actually write you a letter. I'm not advocating that this is the, that
I mean, this sounds like a dream for me.
Kind of, it does to me too. So like what happened recently is like yesterday, I was in the weeds yesterday. I just had a lot of stuff and my watch kept going off. My phone kept notifying me and my computer kept notifying me of stuff. I found it so hard. Exactly. I don't even like all of them that much, but it's so difficult to focus. Yeah. As long as you just don't bother me.
I think though that the other thing that we think about as like, what a terrible time that we're currently in. We are all just getting way too fucking offended over the most bullshit things 100%. Because we've moved up Maslow's hierarchy of needs to, I mean, fuck, I would argue that we're pretty, certain people are pretty damn close to self-actualization over the physical need, the whatever the next needs are.
Because it's a pyramid, right?
It's the pyramid.
What happens when you hit the top of the pyramid? Does it start going back out the other way and it's an inverse pyramid?
Well, no one's ever reached the top of the pyramid other than like maybe Buddha. Like, that's the thing. So, yeah, like,
I've reached it.
But here's the thing, though. Like, even when we're talking about like the shit, when we got pissed off at the bottom level, when you were mad about like, hey, I can't eat today or I don't have a place to sleep today, you fucking killed someone instead of like actually, you know, I'm not talking about today but I'm talking about like in the medieval times, like, fuck, if you had to take something, you took it and you fucking killed someone versus now. This whole like offended thing actually does work both ways. And I think sometimes we forget to think about that. Like, oh, I'm offended by this. And now these other guys on the other side are being pussies because they're offended by this because they're offended that I'm offended. And so like,
but I'm comfortable with your offense. You're allowed to take offense.
Yeah.
But when you take offense to the point where like, I'm so offended by what you just said that I'm going to go on the attack and then take away your livelihood. Make it so you can't feed your wife, you can't feed your kids, you can't feed your dog.
Yeah.
Like that's a level of vindiction that I don't understand. It's education.
Once you take feeding my dog away.
Exactly.
100%. And that's
John Wick your ass.
Then like, okay, so I'll just like I'll give you an example though. Like Aunt Jemima, right? Right.
Oh, I bought a bunch of her bottles up there.
Yeah.
That's racist. Dude.
Just because I knew they were going away. I got them.
So I'll just say this. I think the Aunt Jemima thing, look, I'm not a black person, so I don't know how they feel when they hear the term Aunt Jemima. I know it's been used in racial slurs from time to time, right? But like, but I don't know. So when I first heard about it, I was like, dude, like the idea that they're changing Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben's, I was like, I didn't even realize that was racist. But like, but here's the thing. If that offends a large group of people, guess what? That doesn't impact me at all. I don't give a fuck.
Okay,
make it Ben's.
Get rid of Uncle Ben's and all of that stuff. What I worry about is where is the line drawn? What happens if I just have an opinion about something? I can like the Aunt Jemima thing or dislike it.
Then That's how I felt. I was talking to my mom. She got really mad about the Dr. Seuss thing. And I was like, Mom, it's the family saying, we're just not going to publish these anymore. Yeah. There's a few things offensive. I know, like, you came in, you said, I like Disney's answer better.
Yeah, Disney's probably is way better.
But if it's not making the money, who cares?
A lot of people don't like the Disney thing. Disney's like, do we get rid of these? There's still quality.
And there is. Yeah.
There's a message in those.
There's a message.
Not a message, but there's something to take away from it. And I'm worried that if we erase too much of history,
but they're not going to repeat it. Not
and that's the
publishing
problem.
It anymore.
But that's the problem. Is that's what everything that's
still
going to
be in libraries. It's still going to be for sale. Like, yeah, it's just not new.
But at some point, it's going to go away. Especially when they're not making anymore. Someone's going to buy it up. Someone's going to do whatever. And those books will at some point never be seen again. You know, if someone's holding on to them or whatever. Like, we can't just stop
doing stuff or like canceling stuff
but
or like
not, getting rid of. If it wasn't selling, if it wasn't making them money, then they can
Dr.
stop
Seuss is the second biggest, like.
They're not, they're getting rid of the six not great selling books.
I think, yeah. But the point is, which I like, is that like a lot of different things, like they're talking about canceling, you know, certain films, certain, you know, just things.
Yeah.
Like the context back in the day, if you look at movies made at a certain time, like that's all they knew. Right back when the movie was made, what was going on? You're a product of your time. Yeah, yeah. You make, you write,
and
you do whatever to the product of your time. And then, you know, fast forward 50 years, someone gets offended by it. Don't get rid of it.
Yeah. Like, and I agree with
keep
that.
Keep it there,
yeah, for sure.
To show this is like, and this actually, was the deal, but let's not do it again. Society is picking and choosing what to like say is wrong right now. What to say is like, oh, we need to censor this. We need to do this. Like, it's just, it's so subjective mm-hmm. right now for freaking everybody. It's blowing my mind. I get some of it. Don't get me wrong. I get some of it. But at the same time, like, I don't like get that, it.
Are we focusing on some of the wrong things? I mean, now, look, the reality is everything that kids watch, and Space Jam presumably is something that kids are going to watch, we need to be cognizant of what's being said. Absolutely. I think it's important.
Mm-hmm.
This topic to me affects every single American
yeah.
alive
but
today.
But so many don't
when we
realize
go,
it.
When we go out, when we talk, when we post, when we talk on the phone, if we're afraid that, you know, Alexa's listening to all of our conversations and somehow cataloging them, there is this general feeling of distrust of news, technology, everything. And I believe, if you give me a second, I'll look it up. But there's a quote that Einstein said, and it had something to do with, I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't have it memorized, but
the Chad notes.
When technology reaches a certain point, it's going to diminish human interaction. It's going to get into a, it's going to get us into an area where we don't communicate anymore. And that's where we are.
Mm. So remember the bunny rabbit in the first Space Jam? I can't remember her name, but she was like
Lola.
Super hot.
She was very Lola. Sorry. It was,
yeah, Lola.
But she's very busty.
Did I ever tell you I was on the set of part of Space Jam?
No.
Get the new one?
Out of here.
Yeah.
Or the first one?
The first one.
Uh-uh.
I was in it was in middle school.
Yeah.
And I saw Bill Murray bite a chick.
Oh, no, get the dude. Fuck out of here.
Really? Yeah.
What a story. We got to hear this.
Yeah. I was like, I think I was in seventh or eighth grade, and yeah. It was filmed. Part of it was filmed at the Lake Arrowhead Country Club. We lived in Lake Arrowhead at the time.
Yeah.
And we weren't members of the country club. We'd go down and Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, and Bill Murray were, you know, filming that golf scene.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah,
we
yeah.
got to sit like on the edges of the forest.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it opened up to the golf course.
Yeah.
And we got to sit there and watch it. We couldn't hear anything, but we could see them like, you know, filming the thing. So we went to the parking lot and we were trying to get some autographs. Michael Jordan and Larry Bird, poof, they're gone. But Bill Murray, being, you know, what we know about him now, he just kind of revels in that, right?
Yeah.
So there was a group of us, and they had like the scorecards for the golf, and for, you know, the game. I don't golf. So I called it the golf. But
the Facebook.
Well, the so Facebook. The
she Instagram. She goes, can I have your autograph? And he was being nice. And he was like, sure, no problem. And she gives him the card, and he's like, do you have a pen? She's like, no. And he's like, my dear. And he grabbed her hand, and she's like, you know, swooning. And she puts her hand in his hand. He grabs it and bites her arm. He's like, there's something to remember me by.
Oh, get the fuck out of here. Is that right?
Yeah. So we had...
Dude, he would have been me too'd today.
Me too. 100%.
We have Sharpies. So, of course, he signed ours, and he was super nice. You know, we were like, I don't know, 12?
Yeah.
13, I don't know how old we were, but whatever wow. grade, however old we are in seventh grade, I can't remember. But that's my my Space Jam story. See, when you said Space Jam, I'm like... Yeah. What are you
That's
talking about?
That's freaking cool, man.
That is insane.
That's pretty awesome.
That's a fucking story.
And yeah, at the very end, we know when they're like in the movie theater, they're like sitting in that movie theater was created in the, like the, I don't know what you would call it, but the ballroom, I guess, of the country club.
Oh, whoa.
And they've created
Where's
it.
Where's Lake Arrowhead?
Lake Arrowhead's in the San Bernardino Mountains in California.
Okay.
It's kind of like, it's right. It's a little bit lower than Big Bear.
Okay.
Everybody seems to know where Big Bear is, but yeah. Lake Arrowhead's way
I was there this weekend. Okay. Snowboarded, fucked up my shoulder. I'm too old to snowboard these
Jesus,
days.
Jesus, man.
I fucked up my shoulder sleeping.
Jesus. What are you guys doing with
Fair
yourselves?
Enough.
But I do want to know.
Yeah.
So you told me that you would match something with my fear.
We lucked out. We actually had a beer that was well matched. I've been saving it. I'd had it in my fridge for probably like 3 months.
So it's probably no good anymore.
Nice and aged.
Yeah, it's well aged. Very skunky, you know.
All right.
Well, let's test it. But as we speak about technology, as we speak about how it's in, you know, impacting society, we have a beer, Derek, in that fridge called Techno Tomboy. And I know nothing about it beyond that. And by the way, we're not calling anyone on the show a tomboy. It's all for the four people who are doing this are dudes. It's outer range. It's their fault. They named it that.
But it does have a rainbow can. So that's like
the gradient is beautiful.
Yeah, maybe it's like an homage to that. Maybe, you know, we don't know anything about it. If a tomboy made it, it's fine.
Okay, well, let's see if they say anything about that. It's an IPA.
I hope so.
They don't have a story.
We're going to get kicked off the air.
Frisco, Colorado. Keep cold, drink fresh. 7.2.
Oh, that'll get the
drink
job
fresh.
Done.
Yeah.
I think zero in on that.
Well, you know.
12%, guys. 12%.
That's
I mean, I don't want to brag, but this is like, you know,
yeah.
40-something percent, but it's also whiskey.
Look at that. Well, if you drink the same volume as us, see how this goes.
Yeah, I'll get my stomach pumped.
All right, Derek, should we pour the beast?
Let's do it. Yeah, let me grab some glasses and we'll get back to you.
What? Is your stomach full of shit? Do you have to poop your brains out? Are you going to vomit in front of your fiancé and her parents? Oh my God. Pepto-Bismol. Or is it Bismol? I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce it, but guess what? This shit's going to save your life from, guess what, shit. That's exactly right, ladies and gentlemen. When you have to shit, you go to Pepto-Bismol. Or Bismol. Trademark Pepto-Bismol.
All right, guys, but we got the beer.
Ghibli.
As you can hear.
Cheers. Thank you, sir.
Cheers, ladies and gentlemen.
Ghibli.
How do you say it? Ghibli?
Ghibli.
Ghibli. I like it.
See, I'm going to use the C-stem method on this.
Mmm.
Oh, that's fucking...
You know, it tastes good. Like that. It tastes like Phantom Bride from Belching Beaver.
Oh.
You've had Belching Bride, right, Pat?
No.
Or,
Pat. Yeah, you got it. Good
Ghost
job.
Ghost Bride.
No, he was questioning the beer, head. Not my name.
I just fucked up my head.
Yeah,
Phantom Bride by Phantom Belching Bride Beaver.
By Belching Beaver, yeah.
Okay, I feel like I got... Did I say
Belching Bride?
Belching Bride, which would also be an awesome name of a beer.
Or a band.
Belching Bride by... Dude, Belching Bride by Phantom Beaver. That's good.
Got no beaver.
Oh, Jesus. Anyway.
Phantom Beaver. See, yeah. Cancel culture's got me thinking what's a Phantom up. Beaver?
Okay, but
don't dive too deep on that.
But, Jamie Lee Curtis or something? I don't know.
Oh, shit.
But here's the thing.
Too soon.
This beer, fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for all the people that listen, you know, I'm not a big IPA guy. I can do hazies now. Like, those are pretty good.
Yep.
But this isn't a hazy.
Sure, looks like it.
Yeah, it looks very unfiltered.
It looks super unfiltered, but. Yeah, so it's brewing Frisco.
It doesn't say it's a hazy IPA. It doesn't mean it's not a hazy IPA.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be because that was
It's also got
fantastic.
A couple of different hops that...
it's got like Cascade
that.
Hops.
It's got Nelson, Simcoe, and Mutueka, which I haven't heard of.
Those are all excellent hops.
So the Mutueka, I haven't heard of that
one. I haven't
heard
of that at all.
That's a new one for me.
Uh-uh.
I believe it's New Zealand.
Ooh.
Those damn New Zealanders.
Damn.
Great sets for movies. Great beer hops.
So, Chad, first of all, tell us how the beer is. How do you like the beer?
Okay, this was super good. Like, I don't know. Okay, where I'm not good is picking out the flavors, but I want to say apricot. I know it's not apricot. It's citrusy.
Stone fruit?
Maybe something. I don't know. I don't know what
Which
it is.
Could be an apricot.
But exactly. this was good. I was going to ask.
How do you say it? Hold on.
Is it apricot or apricot?
I don't know.
It depends on where you're from.
Yeah.
We had this discussion recently.
You're definitely not a West Coast person, I can tell.
Nope.
No, like I don't correct people. The only one I correct people on is Nevada. If they say Nevada, oh, that's the only
Nevada.
One that I'm
that's
like,
just Nevada a, there. That's just an absence of education.
Yeah.
But anyway. I gotta get home to my dog. What's going on?
Do it
Are
up.
Are you wrapping this up or yeah. You guys gonna keep going? I'm an overbearing dog dad. I'm sorry. I can't help it.
All right, buddy. See you later.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Like, what's going on?
You can leave if you want.
I know, you said 45 minutes is an episode, and now you're like,
no, I edited it to 45 minutes. We're an hour and 36 minutes in.
Sometimes beer's your friend. Sometimes beer's your enemy. I met a beer one time that said, "Hey, look, I'm going to make you shit your pants." Might have been because I had 7 of them. But guess what? I met that beer with Pepto-Bismol. And Pepto said, "Fuck off, needle dick." And we stopped it right in its tracks. And guess what? I didn't shit my pants that night. True story. Pepto-Bismol. Saving boxers since 1977.
Here's the funny part is, you know, we were going to say bye to Pat, and then all of a sudden we pulled out some whiskey, and Pat didn't get out of his chair. Like, it's crazy. Yeah.
The way to keep Pat here, evidently,
is whiskey.
Whiskey.
So
you had the secret weapon the entire time.
Yeah, you did. Damn. So which you talked about a little bit at the beginning about this, you know, way of tasting whiskey. So now we got to figure this out.
So earlier I said it was the Carver, and I knew that was wrong. It's the Carmer. Carmer. The Carmer Spirits Tasting Enhancement Method.
I love it.
So when you drink whiskey, and I need to give all the credit to Adam and to JD. Like,
yeah.
They're people that have taught me all of this. But when you drink hard spirits in general, what happens? You drink it and you go, ooh, and you make that face, right? He invented this method of tasting spirits, and I find it that it really works well with basically everything, even beer. But I think that he really just says it works with whiskey, wine, spirits, stuff like that. I don't think that he has said anything about beer, but I find it that it works really well with beer.
Yeah,
that's just me particularly. So basically, what happens is that, and I don't even know if I'm allowed to be talking about this publicly because it's kind of his thing. And I won't give all of the specifics, so you still have to go
give the cliff notes
and check out the C-STEM method. But it's a manner in which, so the old way, like if you were a caveman, you look at something, okay, it doesn't look dangerous.
Sure.
You smell something, okay, it doesn't smell dangerous. You taste something, it doesn't taste dangerous, so I'm going to swallow it. So what happens is we smell things, and the way that we taste has a lot to do with our nose, right? So he came up with a way that you kind of backload your olfactory bulb, which is the part that's responsible for smells.
Yeah.
And then it works with your taste buds instead of against it. That's basically what it is.
Okay.
And I don't feel like I'm giving anything away. I'm just giving like a little bit of a teaser. I hope Adam and JD aren't mad at me for that.
It's just promotional material.
Right? I like it. You're teasing. I like it.
Okay. So what we're gonna do is taste a little bit of this. So you guys, what do you guys have? You guys have Larceny, right?
Yep. Larceny.
And I have Larceny.
Yep.
And I really like this. I like this. And you just kind of let it. I don't know. Do you want me to tell you how to do it and then we need to edit it out or something? I don't know.
Yeah, like, we can do that. Here, hold on.
Okay, I just explained C-STEM without like making Adam and JD mad at me. So you guys know how to do it now.
I just did it. It's great. No, I did it before he started.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Sorry, I didn't know you guys were going to do it together.
So you can.
It's a bro-ship.
You can do it now. And I will, because I'm a voice actor, I will narrate I'm saying.
Cheers. So, all right, so start it off.
Derek,
cheers, buddy.
Yeah. Get a little cum pie going. There you go. And then you guys are going to start the thing. So they're taking small sips here. And then no smelling before. I feel like that's okay to say. And the rest of the technicality. So Derek is looking. There's a little bit of a glaze over.
Sad.
Yeah, no. There's. You can tell he's thinking about something. Stu, on the other hand, is like. You can see that he's like putting it together. In a world, Stu is coming to the realization that the C-STEM method is superior to slamming shots.
That's now, fantastic.
Now Derek is putting his nose. He's getting the low notes of the whiskey, and it's not burning your nose now, is it?
There's nothing there so, as far as like the burning. Yes. It's just that bouquet, like you were talking about.
After you C-STEM, like when you smell a like if you
sounds
if you
like
were gonna
C-SPAN.
Go, yes, but better because it has to do with better, booze. Yeah.
So C-SPAN's boring.
That's how you know it's good.
It's true.
It's the most informative. But if you smell booze straight out of the bottle and you don't taste it correctly, it burns the fuck out of your nose, doesn't it?
100%.
It kind of hurts. So like now, do you feel the burn of the alcohol? Now you're just feeling you're smelling the bouquet and it's coming together. What do you think, Stu?
Yeah, I think it's actually fantastic. So literally putting it down in the lip was a very interesting sensation, I gotta say. So much so that, like, actually, I could have left it in there for a little while just to see what happened.
So,
you know, like, seriously, you know, like,
and the next time that you do that, because what you're doing is you're letting everything meld together and you're pulling out those flavors. And you, I always thought it was weird when wino people would be like, oh, it tastes like book leather and fucking pepper.
Tennis ball.
And tennis ball.
Oh, yeah. And like dirt, right? Like it tastes like this.
And I'm like, I don't taste any of that. Okay. Now when I'm doing this, I do. Remember earlier when I said I paid $350 for a shot of something?
Yeah.
The note that I picked up on that was embarrassing but also accurate was neoprene.
Damn.
Wetsuit.
Dude.
There was like this hint of wetsuit in there. Yeah. What the fuck? Yeah. I tasted wetsuit? Yeah. That's a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
But because of this method, that's what I got. And, you know, the person that served it to me was not like a regular bartender. It was like a whatever a sommelier for whiskey would be.
Yeah.
And
do they have a name?
Because I think it's called a Maltador or a Maltodon.
Okay, yeah. Because beer has Cicerone, wine has sommelier, and then,
And I also believe, I guess I have a hard-on for JD and Adam.
All right, Chad.
So
I gotta do this.
Guys. Yeah, we gotta shut her down.
I gotta do the stem test real quick on his Laphroaig.
Okay, so this is like again super special.
That's probably not right though. The stem test. What's it called?
C stem. I just love this sound.
Stem is science, technology, stem test? Engineering, and math.
You're talking about stem cells. Yeah, it's different. Cells. But this sound is great. It's glorious.
Let's.
Oh God, that makes me so happy. When I went to Isla for the first time, that's the first time that I believed in reincarnation. I felt like I'd been there before. I want to
go real bad.
It's so good. Totally worth it.
I've been to Skyland before.
Yeah, you got to go to Isla. It's a trek. But so, you are C-stemming. I love it. I'm getting there.
And it looks like he's about to cry.
I mean, he
he's pouting.
I don't know if he's 100% doing it right, but it doesn't matter. Like you start
trying.
Somewhere.
He's trying.
He's getting there. He's like, oh, he's miming now. Yeah, he's happy. That's a happy mime. Oh.
He doesn't look so much crying.
Yeah, actually, like, can you give some more signs? Like, we need to understand what's happening in your brain right now.
Maybe some facial expressions, like
something.
No, I was laughing. Like when you guys are talking, so I'm like, oh my God, I gotta keep it. But dude, that's nice.
Mm.
Because right when I first swallowed it,
not his first time, ladies and gentlemen.
It does sound funny when you say it.
Yeah, but no, like as it was hitting, it started to burn. Obviously, right because it was working. Swallowed.
That's so smoky in the scent.
So yeah, dude. So right when I swallowed, I didn't get like even when I first tasted it, no smokiness, nothing. I swallowed. It took maybe like 3 seconds, and then boom, like then just campfire fucking hit my mouth.
What the fuck?
It was crazy.
Is your throat on fire? What the fuck is happening?
So if you really want to be entertained, you can go on Twitter and put #opinionswelcome, and the Laphroaig stuff will come up. That's nuts. And there are some very articulate, amazing descriptions of what General Laphroaig, this is Bro Deer, but General Laphroaig, what it tastes like. My favorite one is it tastes like a merman took off his cod piece and was drying it on an open campfire on the beach. Something like that. Again, I'm paraphrasing.
And you know what? I could see that though. I could see the little merman coming out. I'm like, I get it. Try it.
Very, very creative, descriptions of what this tastes like.
Did they do shrooms before they drank the scotch?
I don't know because it's on Twitter, but we can only imagine. Yes. We can only imagine.
I think they had a hell of a night. And that is incredible, by the way. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
That is fucking fantastic.
Isn't that crazy? I mean,
the Techno Tomboy was really good, and I'd like to try to find that. Like some of these craft beers are so good, they're very hard to find. Just the same as Laphroaig Bro Deer, super difficult to find. I mean, you can find it on the internet, but it's not like you're going to go down to your regular liquor store and find this.
which makes it more special too.
Yeah,
I think
it
so.
It makes a heck of like it's more enjoyable. Like, look, yes, can you find a great IPA? Can you find a great Scotch? Can you find a great whiskey when you go down to your, you know, Lee's Liquor or your Total Wine or whatever? Sure. Of course you can, but it's a little bit more special when you can find that exclusive. It really is.
Yep. If you become passionate about something, whether it's whiskey, beer, or anything, and you share with other people and you kind of open their mind or their palates to something new, I think that's special. I think that's awesome.
Which brings it kind of, you know, full circle with what you were talking about with the fear and technology in the world. Like, we need to kind of bring people together, whether it's with, you know, alcohol. Alcohol might save the world, people. You know what I mean? You got to bring it together.
In moderation, I think it could. In excess, it's definitely hard destruction. It's
definitely hard. Yeah, there's
a especially fine line. If you drink and then go on the internet, then that's problematic because then you're just an asshole generally.
Well, let's just be friends.
Yeah. But no, I love that. Like, it is. Like, it's good to share things, you know, whether it's stories or a drink with a friend. Like, one of my favorite, you know, Super Bowl commercials other than Chad's, you know, Chad's number one.
Thank you.
Is the Budweiser commercial, because, you know, they said they were going to take away the Clydesdales, right? And they had a commercial that was literally about just bringing people together. Like, it was kind of almost a commercial about like a world either before or after, right? However you looked at it, after COVID, once you could all get together, like they were tossing beers to each other after a long day of work, or like, you know, whatever, like just having a beer together, having a good time together. And that's what it's about.
Yeah.
You know, having drinks, good time together, which I feel like you kind of have a little deal to talk about here.
I do. So you prefaced this whole thing with like, what's your fear?
Yeah.
And I didn't want to like leave the end of this like in any form that was just, you know, heavy or somber or anything like that. So I wanted to leave you with this thought. And I don't know who said this, but I wholeheartedly believe it. I'm just going to say that the person's unknown. Fear is putting your trust in the bad. Faith is trusting in the good. So when we talk about like the fear that we have, we can focus on the bad, the things that we're afraid that are going to happen. If we focus on the things that are good, we have faith that we will come out of this better, stronger, you know, name your adjective. So when we have those moments of like, you know, just a lot of self-doubt, a lot of, you know, just societal doubt where we feel like it's going to hell in a handbasket, just focus on the good and watch how powerful that can be in a way that focusing on all of the terrible things around us can be destructive. The inverse is always an option.
Beautiful.
God, I love it.
Damn beautiful.
I love it.
It truly is, man.
Yeah.
It's all about perspective.
Yes.
All about perspective. And
if you take anything away from this podcast, perspective.
You know what, Derek?
Gotta leave it
we
there.
Shouldn't even say anything.
Nope.
No, you guys, that's saying too much at this point.
Do it.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Derek, Chad, Pat,
Professor Pat.
Pat.
Thank you.
We'll be seeing you.